a kind of a little side study that's kind of sandwiched in between everything we've been doing. The title of it is Hallelujah, or Hallelujah, and then Yah. Yah would be Y-A-H. So that praise is to Yah or Yahweh, to God, Elohim. So when you say Hallelujah, the Yah on the end, that's the highest praise to Yahweh. So when you say Hallelujah, Yah is Yahweh. The name is in that praise. And so that's important when you say in Hallelujah, you're worshiping the Lord, that you know that. And it's one of the praises that doesn't change from one language to the next. Almost all languages use that term, Hallelujah. So if we're in Nepal, Hallelujah. We say Hallelujah. If we're in Costa Rica, Hallelujah. In all the places I've been, that kind of stays. So if you ask them to translate or whatever Hallelujah, they'll say Hallelujah. It's the same. So keep that in mind. The title, a subtitle to this is To God Be the Glory. To God be the glory, and that's Yahweh. To Yahweh, Elohim, be the glory. So this is important, and this is going to help us with both of the next two teachings we're going to do. This is kind of in between. It's going to help us with both of those things. So you'll start to see some of these verses come to life. So get your Bibles, get your whatever you're using, iPad, smartphone, that you're going to be looking up and write down or save in your notes all these verses. Because that's what I'm going to be giving you, lots of these verses. The next thing I was going to show you here, the Father, this is for me to just give you some information at the beginning. So if I say the Father, Elohim, and Yahweh, I mean the same person. Everybody say the same person. Is that important if you study in the Bible? It is important. It's valuable. Valuable. It's like, how many's ever been around concrete that's been poured? Pouring concrete. Well, you take the concrete, and that's foundations. Used for what most of the time? For foundations. That's what it's used for. I want you to understand that we have some scripture that we use all the time that's foundational. But if you put steel in the foundation, what happens to it? Does it become weaker or stronger? It becomes stronger. So what I'm going to attempt to do in tonight's teaching and every teaching that I'll do in between, including Sunday services, is I'm attempting to put steel in the concrete. So we agree on foundational things, but we need steel in the concrete because that's what the enemy comes to undermine the foundation. Remember, the enemy didn't even want to take the chief cornerstone, which every measurement's pulled from, which is Christ. So we got you can have concrete. And I've seen concrete with steel and without steel. Without steel, it doesn't take the whatever comes, weight, water. I've seen water crack concrete without steel in it. Weight will crack concrete without steel in it, right? But you put steel in the same concrete. It could be the same size pad and the same concrete. And water and weight doesn't affect it. So before Christ returns, we got to make sure we understand about the steel in the concrete, in the scripture foundation. So it becomes stronger. So we won't be moved by all the stuff that's going to come. We're going to know what to do, what to say, and how to say it. So that's some of the things we have to learn. So when I talk about the Father, if I talk about Elohim or Yahweh, I'm talking about the same person. Not no other person, the same person. That's very important for you to understand. Valuable for you to get. Now, let's get started we're going to go through these scriptures and we're going to talk about them. I'm going to point out some things in these scriptures. Now, in these slides, I got them highlighted. So I have them here. I'll be able to highlight them. I'll be able to show you. And maybe you can mark it or whatever you do in your Bible or put a note for it. John 16, verse 32 through 33. So go in your Bibles to John 16. And we're going to be looking at verse 32 and 33. Now, I did all of these verses in with the correct names. I'm going to read them with that. Okay? So I got the King James, but I used the correct names and all the ones that I'm going to put, and that's where I'm going to read it from. Okay? So John 16, verse 32 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Now, who's the speaker in John 16? Yeshua. Right? And then he says, "And yet," what he says there in that verse, "and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Think about that. Now, if Yeshua is the speaker, does he mean here that him and the Father are the same person? Does anybody get that? What I see here is we have Yeshua, who's one person, and we have the Father, who's another person, and he's saying, "He's with me. He's with me. Not me, with me." Now, you notice in my opening, I said the Father, Elohim, and Yahweh is the same person. I want you to make sure you understand that. Verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." How many see that? He says we're going to have what? Tribulation. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Yeshua said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father," I mean, see that, "the Father, but by me." Notice that. Yeshua is the speaker. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." Now, we know that Yeshua is the what to the Father? He's the way to the Father. He's not the Father. He's the way to the Father. I mean, understand? How many see that clear? These are clear things that we have to understand. Because what is the title we're talking about? Again, hallelujah to God be the glory. Remember, we want to make sure that we understand as a people the distinction between God's glory and the glory that was given to Yeshua. Big difference. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Elohim by him." I mean, notice that. Now, how many see what we just did with Scripture? To get to the Father, it's got to be by him, meaning it's Yeshua, right? To get to Elohim, now if I say Elohim, am I still talking about the same person? Notice that. I'm talking about how to get to Elohim. If I'm talking about getting to Elohim, I'm also talking about Elohim because he's the Father, right? And his name is Yahweh. How many see that all this stuff makes sense when you look at it the way the Scripture plainly puts it to us? Now, he says, "Wherefore he is able," Hebrews 7:25, "to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto Elohim by him." Who's him? Yeshua. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank you, Lord. How many see that? Now, here's one that'll really help you. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this is going to be important ones and valuable to us. And I definitely, you know, I want to go through all of these, and there are a lot of scriptures. A lot of scriptures to go through. Well, and we won't cover them all, but we just this kind of a side study, this Bible study. I want you to see it. You take these things, start reading them, and go, wow, this is clear as could be. 1 Peter chapter, let me just show you. We could be in and around church for a long time, but unless you seeking this out, you don't really see it because you're kind of just reading, right? But if you start searching the scriptures daily about these things, they make sense to you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, let's watch what happens in verse 18. It says this, "For Messiah also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim," right? Your Bible says what? God, right? "Bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the..." See, if you don't believe that Yeshua was put to death in the flesh, it's going to be very difficult for you to get saved. Because you have to believe that he came in the flesh. You have to believe that. It's one of God expects that of us. So, being put to death in the flesh, but what? Quickened by the Spirit. Not in the Spirit first, but put to death in the flesh and then quickened by the Spirit. How amazing is that? These are just some of these highlight verses that are absolutely amazing and incredible, and we got to have them. If we don't have them, we miss a lot of things. Now, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Because this one will help us right here. And again, to God be the glory. Remember that. Keep saying that. To God be the glory. How many remember I did a series, "When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed." Remember that? I'm probably going to cover a lot of those verses coming up soon. But this is an addition to that whole series. And I was telling them, I said, "Well, you know, maybe I just thought that series again. When you look into my glory." But all of these verses, I put some of them in there, but I never dealt with a lot of these verses here. I mean, there's so many of them. Acts chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "The Elohim of Abraham." Right? So it says, "The God of Abraham, the Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, had glorified his son Yeshua." I mean, see that. "Who ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Now, what does it say in here? This is Acts now. This is the book of Acts. Jesus has already ascended, and this is the early apostles. These are the guys that are hitting the ground running, and they say, "The Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, had glorified the Son Yeshua." How many see that? So, do we have a clear distinction here between the Father, Elohim, Yahweh, that's one person, and the Son, Yeshua? It's clear. And when we're dealing with whether or not Elohim in Genesis 1 speaks of the Trinity, we're going to be talking about, you're going to need to know these verses. When I'm dealing with the fact that we do not live on a spinning ball, you're going to need these. Because the brain can get stuck in what's been said for a long time. It can really get stuck there. And there's this, hopefully, maybe on Sunday, I'll have a little video, a little short video, where this comedian is up, and he introduces a few songs. And he'll say, this is what the song says. And then you'll play the real song, and you're going to hear what he said clear in the song. So he'll just tell you, the song says this. Then he'll play the song, and you'll hear exactly what he said. And sometimes we read that away, and we study the scripture. We do it in, by what some said. But we never get out of it what it really is. What's the written lyrics? If you look at the written lyrics, they don't really say that. Don't say it at all. So I'm going to play that little short video. It's just a short video. It's funny, though. Right? Like, let me just tell you, there's one that Michael Jackson sings. How many's ever heard of Michael Jackson? He dead, by the way. And he's singing this song, and the guy says, in a little while, you're going to hear him say, and your burgers are the best. Has anybody ever seen that video? It's real, this is funny. And so he plays the song. Well, he didn't write that. But that's all you hear from then on. These burgers are the best. Well, that is crazy. How can the man say something, and then you listen to it, and that's what you hear? This is exactly what's happening in our world today. You read the text, but you hear only what somebody else said. So if the world tells you it's spinning out in the universe, we don't even know where we are, but we're just a little speck, that's what you're going to think. But is that what the Bible teaches? See? You got to slow down. You got to look at the verse and read it over and over and over. That's how these verses get selected to be in the Bible study, because you got to look at them carefully. So how many see that? Let me show you this one. Acts chapter 4. Now this one will help you. Acts chapter 4, they were already being put in prison. In 4th chapter Acts. What happened in Acts 2? What was Acts 2? Day of Pentecost, right? Remember that. The day of Pentecost. So we have that feast. They're all together. They're in one court in one place. Suddenly there come a sound from heaven, right? Then now we're in Acts 4. They're already putting them in prison, locking them up for the gospel's sake. Well, they're trying to catch them on something so they want to kill them. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. Now notice what they get mad for. What is most of the world mad for? You ever notice? If you want to talk about anything else, Hindu gods, Buddha, Allah, don't matter. You know, everybody's got a little spot for that. But you bring up the name of Yeshua, Yahweh. If we talk about Yahweh, oh, that's it. You can't be pushing that on the people. It's not going to happen. That's not something new. I just want you to know that's not new. That started right after the ascension, when he ascended. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim, who are they talking about? I hope you're seeing this. You got to grab this, because if you don't, you're going to miss it. What are they talking about? Because they're talking about God. Right? They didn't mention Yeshua here. Notice that the early apostles understood there's a clear distinction on who is the Most High, to God be the glory, and Yeshua the Savior. How many know that? So Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to hearken unto you more than unto Elohim, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's what they're speaking. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. because of the people, for all men glorified Elohim for that which was done. So the miracles are happening, and who are they giving the praise to? Elohim. So they can't find fault. Now, because if they'd have been saying, we doing this for Yeshua, they'd have killed him. Because they killed him, and line up, we're going to kill you too. Now they know that they're followers of Yeshua. He's their rabbi, but the glory is given to the Most High. Notice that. This is 4th chapter of Acts, by the way. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Verse 24 is a key verse here. Key verse. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to Elohim with one accord and said, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. How many see that? Who they giving that glory to? This is the apostles, by the way. Who? What's their names? Can we name them? Can we name them? Is there somebody know? Peter and John. Peter and John did not give glory to Yeshua as the Creator. Did y'all see that? Who did they pray to? Elohim. Did you see that? This, I hope this helps you, because this is key things for us to understand. They lifted up their voices and they gave him praise to Elohim. Verse 25. Who, by the mouth of thy servant David, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against Yahweh. Against Yahweh and against his Messiah. Now, in the regular King James, without it being helped here, what does it say against what? Says what? Against the Lord and against his Christ. Right? Now, when most people, if they're not trained, they start marrying the two. The Lord and the Messiah comes to the same person. That's how oneness started. Oneness believes that there's just one all the time. There's one God who is Jesus and Holy Spirit all in one. How many? One. One. You ask them a question, one. You see? We pray to the one God, Lord Jesus. See? We thank the one God, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. See? It's just constant. So that's called oneness. It's all in the name of Jesus. Does that mean anything? Well, it doesn't, because it's all saying God, he's the Creator, he's everything. So when they're talking about God, some will even do this. They bring it in the name. So they'll say, he's God, he's Elohim, he's Yahweh, he's Jesus Christ. You see? Then they'll pray, Father. Well, who's the Father? She said, well, who's the Father? Well, he's the Father. Yeah, but who's the Father? He's the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. How confusing is that? Right? The Bible starts becoming a mingled mess. You don't know what to think. He didn't write it that way. The apostles understood the difference. So hopefully you see these clear terms, right? The king of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against Yahweh and against his Messiah. How many see there's a clear distinction between who's Yahweh? Yahweh's who, by the way? Who do we start out with? Yahweh is Elohim. Yahweh is the Father. They're the same person. One person. And they're against the Messiah. Now watch this. Verse 27. This will make you shout right here. For of a truth, against thy holy child, Yeshua. Do you see that? This is John and Peter. How do they recognize Yeshua? As the what of God? Child of God. Thy holy child, by the way. Do you see that? For of a truth against thy holy child, Yeshua, whom thou hast anointed. Thou hast anointed. Isn't that something? Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Are y'all seeing this? Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, and now, Yahweh, behold their threatens. Do you see? This is a prayer, by the way. They're praying. They've been let go, and they're praying. And behold, their threatenings, and grant thy servants that with all boldness they might speak thy word. Do you see this? They told us not to speak. What did they tell them? Don't speak. We're letting you go, but you can't say anything. They start praying, Lord, they're threatening us. They're going to put us in prison. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Yeshua. Is that, I think you got to be going through great length to break it. They're trying to break the mindset of people because they were amongst the Gnostics of that time who were coming in, and they were trying to marry through a pagan system the idea of making gods. Polytheism. They were going through great lengths saying, listen, we talking to Yahweh about his holy child, Yeshua. How many see that? Clear. This is that prayer, fourth chapter. By stretching forth thy hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, why would God, Elohim, Yahweh, the Father, shake the place where they were assembling if they weren't speaking the words of truth? The place was shaken, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. What words are they speaking? Words of Elohim, right? What words did Yeshua speak? Words of Elohim. Do you see? This is the same thing. No different. But they're not saying, hey, we speak in the words of Jesus. We're saying, they speak in the words of Elohim because they understood that the words that Yeshua spoke was the words of Elohim. It's not something different. Very important to see that they're having to do this because they're up against already this domination to change the words that Yeshua spoke to not be a fact and to bring them into this pagan system. And it kept going. They were murdering them. They were killing them just on a daily basis. They had a tough time. It was not an easy path right here. There was nothing easy about what they did. Let me tell you, sometimes we lose sight of who's really suffering. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, there's thousands of people suffering right now out in Texas, in Louisiana, on that western side there. Lots of people, thousands. And we ought to know about that. We ought to have a sense of feeling about that. We've been through that stuff. But it's a time, we had our time. We went through that moment. It's not a time to highlight what we've been through. It's a time for us to say, God, we know how it feels. We ought to know how to pray. We know how to contact the heavenlies in order to help other people. Because we know. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because he went through to some stuff. He knows. If you've been through it, well, let me tell you, Yeshua been through it. You can pray for people you've been through something, you can pray for those, and you can connect. A person that's never been in that situation, they can say, give prayer, give all the little fancy Facebook things, hands like this. That don't mean nothing. When you go to say, God, you see those people, you connect instantly because you've been in that water. You've seen that the heaps of debris. You understand? It's an instant connection because you know what was happening. But somebody never been through it? Yeah. That stuff right there just, I go, you got to be kidding me. Why folks absolutely have lost their mind. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse number 1. How many ready for this? Say, I'm ready for Isaiah. Because this will help us right here. Isaiah. Now we're going to show you this distinction. We're going to let God speak here a little bit. Elohim's going to speak to us. Let's see what happens. Isaiah 42, verse number 1 says, Behold, my servant. Who is he speaking? Who's the servant there? Everybody say, Yeshua. What does he call him? My servant. What's the thing that Hasatan, Hallel, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, what he never wanted to be? A servant. See, I don't want to serve because I'm too pretty. You might know people in real life like that. I'm too pretty to work. You know, if they walk in like that, that could be a problem. You're running into a situation here. You know, if they walk in, there you go. We've had people in administration that were too pretty to do things. Now we got folks that are getting out there, putting boots on. They ain't got to. And you said, somebody, well, they just doing it for the camera. I don't care if they doing it. It may be for that, but that guy that's hurting, he appreciates it. Because that's one more branch he ain't got to carry. And I'm glad you carrying it. Come out the White House, and you get there, that means something to people. You understand that makes a difference? But we've seen that. And we've seen it during the time of Yeshua. Some people didn't want to do anything. We don't want to kill him. You know, they got all their garments on, their beads in the prayer shawl, and their tassels. We want you to kill him for us. You see? But I like what Yahweh says. Behold my servant. I want him to be able to say that about me. My servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Are you ready for this? Verse 2. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He ain't going to go around saying, poor Yeshua. He ain't done nobody no wrong. He ain't never hurt nobody, lied to nobody, cheated nobody, but he got to carry a cross. You know, folks get off on, they just love that kind of stuff, that tension. This is a good name for them. Selfie. Not Yeshua. A bruised reed shall he not break. Do you understand that? A bruised reed shall he not break. And smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Verse 4. That's one of my favorite parts right here. He shall not fail. He, Yeshua, shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. We don't need lawlessness. We live in a world that lawlessness. We need a guide, and we have it. We wait for his law. Verse number 5. Thus said El Yahweh. Now, that's emphasis. Anytime you see El, what does El mean? God, right? El is God. Just means God. But it's El Yahweh. It's emphasis being drawn to the text. He that created... Now, who's the... Now, he's going to... El Yahweh is the one, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spreadeth forth the earth. Who did all of that? El Yahweh. And what if I say Elohim did that? Am I still speaking to the same person? You see how important that is at the beginning? If I say Elohim did that, if I say El Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. What did he do with the heavens? Stretched them out. What's going to happen to them when Christ returns? He's going to roll them up like a scroll. When he rolls them up like a scroll, that's going to be something. But right now, we living under the stretched out part. And that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. He gives breath and spirit to the people. Who did all that? El Yahweh. Verse number 6 says, I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. Who is he speaking about still? What did the first verse say? My servant. What servant? His servant, Yeshua. Now he's still, I have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. So he's going to be for a light to the Gentiles. Verse number 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 8. I am Yahweh. That is my name. Now, he's going to set the order here. Who's he talking about at the beginning in the first verse when he says, my servant? What does he call Yeshua? Servant. How many know there's a difference, clear difference between the servant and the Most High? To God be the glory. Remember the title. To God, hallelujah. I am Yahweh. That is my name. Ready for this? And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. By the way, does Yeshua have a problem with any of this? You know why? Because he made of himself a no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and was obedient even to the death of the cross. That's something. That's amazing to me. But see, this wonderful cherub, he got pride and got lifted up in his heart from the beauty and said, why would I, this viceroy as it were, look at me. There ain't one angel looks better than me. And he was right. God did, when he made that cherub, Hallel, he wasn't playing. He made him beautiful. And so that Lucifer, Hasatan, Hallel, Satan, whatever, there was not a single angel, not one, that was more magnificent than him. If he looked out there, it was always less. But when he looked to God, he knew he was not there. So he says, you know, why would I have to serve the one made a little lower than the angel? That's like steps down. He's lower than them. I'm above them, and he's lower than them. Why would I want to serve him? But it was God's command. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation? Are they not all ministering? What am I talking about when I say that? Angels, all. Are they not all ministering spirits? Got all this done? The earth is created. It's just wonderful, wonderful. The heavens are stretched. God is above looking down. And the angel says, well, what do you want us to do? Hey, I want you to serve. Serve them. This is my, look at my prized possession here. This is my creation. It's perfect. And the Lord looked at everything and saw that it was good. It was very good. He said, this is good. Look at it. It's perfect. Serve my creation. Me? Hello, me? You want me to serve? I'm going to show you serve. Hey, you know, if you have not God said, you know, think about it. You can be as God. Where that as God came is from his own pride, because that's what his whole thing. But I'm not going to go down on my own. I gotta try to destroy. I'm gonna hurt God bad. I'm gonna hurt him. I'm gonna bring down what he prized. He loves the most. He give all the animals. Give the sea. And can you imagine? How many know we could travel around and go to different places on this plane and see a lot of things, and they're beautiful. I've been to some places that we just go, wow. This is gorgeous. And it's dying. Been dying for a long time. Could you imagine what it was like before it started dying? And he gave all that to Adam. All of it. Every sea creature, every bird of the air, the stars, the sun, the moon, he gave it all to him. He said, that's you. Everything inside the firmament, it was all Adam's. And the angels were there to serve. If you need something, give it to him. You see? And then all of a sudden, you know, we're not doing that. That's just against God. So hopefully you're seeing this. Because Yahweh says, I am Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Do you understand that? My glory will I not give to another. Amazing to me. And neither my praise to graven images. That's why when Jesus was tempted to bow down and worship Hallel, Hasatan, he said, thou shalt worship God, Elohim, the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shall thy serve. He knew that, and he said, I'm not serving you. What you talking about? See, that's the difference. Because if he would have, it would have been over. Done. Luke chapter 1, let's look at this, because now that kicks us into something. Because we're talking about the servant, right? My servant. He said, my servant. Well, let's look at how this started. Luke chapter number 1, verse 30 through 35. Verse 30 through 35 in Luke. This is some of the Genesis of Yeshua. Okay, let's look at it. And the angel said unto her, talking about Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Elohim. You found favor with Elohim. And behold, now who's the speaker here? The angel. Doing what? Serving. Serving. I got a message. God says, I got a message. Okay, I want you to go down. You right there. You go down and you tell them this. Yes, Lord. Go and serve. And verse 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua. That's how it would have been said by the angel. Not Jesus. That didn't come on the scene until about 500 years. You understand? That the angel would have said Yeshua. I promise you, there's not one scholar, not one you'll find that would disagree with what I just said. They all will say, he said Yeshua, not Jesus. Jesus came on later. Much later. Because it was translated from Yeshua to Jesus. For whatever reason. But it was. But did God still honor that? He did it because God always protects his word. He protects his word because a lot of people got saved in the name of Jesus. And they were genuinely saved. There's no doubt about it. I'm one of them people. I know what happened. My life changed by that name. But we come along and the Lord gives us wisdom and understanding. Now we can take what we know real happened and apply it to these things. They're very important. Because you don't get, remember this, that was foundational. But how many know when you know it's Yeshua, it puts steel in your concrete. I don't want to take the concrete out because it kept you all these years. You understand? But I want to put some steel in the concrete because the water's going to come. The weight's going to come. And I don't want you to crumble. We don't want that. Amen? Verse 32. He shall be great. Who's he? Shall be great. Talking about Yeshua. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now, how many see that? If you're the highest, who's higher? If you're the highest, who's higher? Think about that. Now, we're talking about the Son of the Highest. If you're the Son of the Highest, you're not the highest. You're the Son of the Highest. Remember that. And Yahweh Elohim says it right there. In your Bible, Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Notice that. He had to come from that line. Give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, we understand what that means. She's a spouse, but they never been together. It's a whole different concept in today's world. Right? It's the truth. I mean, in today's world, you know, you taste the drink before you buy the drink kind of thing. That was mild. Everybody is adults. Everybody understand what that means. Right? But that didn't happen here. It wasn't tolerated at all. They came underneath the Mosaic law. You didn't do that kind of stuff because you wound up being stoned to death. And let me tell you, when they're dragging you out, stoning you, we don't do that anymore. But when they're dragging you out, stoning you, you kind of quit doing that. Right? You say, I ain't doing it. You know, you got two, a man and a woman, they kind of like each other. And they go, hey, I like you. Like they were, I like you. You like me. Okay. They're going back to their house. Right? Because the couple before them, they drug them out and stoned them. We ain't doing that. We're going to be okay. They don't have text. There ain't no texting. How would they communicate? They wouldn't. The parents would come. The fathers would come. Say, hey, your son like my daughter, huh? Yeah, he's telling me he does. All right. I need 12 sheep. I need 7 mules. I need a dozen camel. She better be pretty. You understand? Now listen, if the daughter came from a wealthy family, the father, he gonna give up some stuff. He might have to give cash, lots of animals. He's gotta give, he ain't getting her for nothing. You bringing that gift. But let me tell you, he describes the church as the bride. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I love the bride so much, I'm going to give my only son. How's that? He values us so much. And sometimes I think we forget that kind of stuff. We don't think about it often enough. He ain't given, listen, he didn't give up some lambs. He didn't give up some sheep and some goats and some camels and some mules. He gave the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. That's what it's an amazing love story. It's absolutely amazing. And you know what he says? I'm going to give him to you and pay the price, and then I'm going to retain him until I make everything subjected to him. Heaven must retain him until. Isn't that amazing? And then he comes, and the marriage actually takes place. Well, that's why you got to have faith. Because without faith, you can't please God. And if you don't have faith, you can't be saved. Because you're saved by grace, or you save through faith. That's a foundational verse. But when I add all these verses to it, what does it put in that foundation? Steel. Add steel to the concrete. Wow. And the angel said unto her, and then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be seen? I know not a man. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. And the power of the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The power of the highest is the what? There you go. The operational presence of God, not a third person. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. The power, he's telling us what Holy Spirit is. What is Holy Spirit? The power of the highest. Do you understand that? Shall overshadow thee. Now watch this word. How many see that word, therefore? Therefore also. That translation can say, because of this, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Yahweh. Because of what? Because of the power of the highest overshadowing and performing a miracle in you which has never been done. How does he become Son of Yahweh? How does he become Son of Yahweh? It tells us what has to happen. Holy Spirit from the highest overshadows you. Because of this miracle, he's the Son of the highest. He wasn't Son somewhere else in some distant past. He ain't Son yet. He's going to be Son. Because this is the genesis of Yeshua. What does that mean? The beginning. The beginning. All right, I'm going to stop right here in Hebrews. We're going to quit. Hebrews chapter 10. I got another 100 verses, but we can't do them. At least 100. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Hebrews 10, verse 9. We're stopping here. Well, we got John to do too. But Hebrews 10:9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will. Who's doing the will of Elohim? Yeshua. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Who's the first? Adam. Who's the second? Yeshua. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. How do you understand that? I hope nobody understood that. They didn't understand that either. There's no, we make the sacrifice and it takes away sin. No, it was only to cover them until the second comes. That was God putting into place a way for them to stay in covenant with him until the second comes. Because every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, everybody say man. I'm not, that's not what I'm saying. I'm reading the Bible to you. What does he call Yeshua here? But this man. Now, aren't we talking about priests and sacrifices? Are we talking about that? Talking about Elohim, the first and the second. He offered the body of Yeshua Messiah. And then he says, but this man. Was Jesus called a man in the Bible? Was Yeshua a man? Well, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim. Where did he sit? Down on the right hand of Elohim. So that tells me we got the first man sitting on the right hand of Elohim. The first Adam failed to continue that covenant. But the second Adam, he sits at the right hand of Elohim. From henceforth, expecting to his enemy made his footstool. That's the heaven retains him. Can you see that? Let's do John 15 and then we'll close right here. John 15, verse 22. Let's look at it. 15:22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, but if he wouldn't have spoke, they would. But now that he spoke, because he's saying, I did speak, there's no more cloak for sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Now, who's the speaker here now? He said, if you hate me, you hate my Father. He's clearly making a distinction between the two. If you hate me, you hate my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did. If I didn't do the works which no other man did, what does he consider himself? The man. They had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hateth both me and my Father. Notice that. So I hope that you see that, because that is powerful. It's powerful that we have these passages to go over. And there's more going on that man. Because every one of these verses, what I did is I broke them down to just show you how we clearly see in this distinction, no matter if we're talking about the man, Christ Jesus, if we're talking about the Father, Yahweh, all of those, there's distinctions throughout the text that clearly shows. So there's more to this. Maybe I'll continue to be able to do this on another study. But I wanted to point this out to you. You want to write John 8:40 down. 8:40 is going to be the next verse that I will start with. That'll be the one that we will open up with. John chapter 8, verse 40. So, hopefully, that this has helped you. That this has given you some understanding, some insight on some of these things, these issues that we're going to be dealing with. On Sunday, I'm going to be talking about the creation. We went through the creation. I read all the verses. I'll probably open up and read from 1 to 31 in Genesis. And then look at that. Just reading that and then take you through the Bible and showing you what the Bible teaches about what we live on. Is the world as we know it real? All right, as we know it, is what we've been taught and told by people who are against God. If somebody tells you you came from a monkey, you probably don't need to give them a whole lot of ear time. Right? Because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible don't teach that. When God created man, did he create a monkey? No, he created a human being. And they had children. They were all humans. Let me just tell you this. Human beings have human beings, and monkeys have monkeys. It's kind of easy. He tells us that. He tells us all that in the first chapter. The animals have after their own kind. Right? And the plants after their kind. And the fish after their kind. And humans after their kind. Clear. So once you start trying to fit in scientism with Bible, with if we take the theism or the theology, and we start looking at that, and we start mixing the two together, we're going to run into some serious problems. And most of what people have learned all their life is nothing more than scientism. That's what it's been. And so when you believe that, you got to then start trying to stretch the scripture and try to make it fit what you've been told. So we're going to look at that. We're going to show you clearly who's telling the truth. We're going to take that on Sunday. Who wants to follow somebody that constantly lies to you? About they tell you something and you can, they tell you something, you look outside and say, well, that ain't true. You can go and do simple things and prove that what they say is not true. But the Bible constantly, God tells us what he's going to do. And then he says, he prophesied all these prophecies about Messiah. And Messiah's filling all them prophecies. The record is 100%. The ones that haven't been fulfilled, they speak of the future, they're coming. So hopefully we can look at the one who tells the truth, the one who tells the lie, and we go, okay, which one I want to believe? Hopefully we'll be able to do that on Sunday. Okay, and we're going to take that on and start anyway. But I hope that you're seeing these verses, and they kind of help with both of the next studies that we're going to be doing, especially with the when I talk about the Trinity and we look at the foundation of that and where it all come from, and when we talk about the heliocentric model, which is what you taught. Everybody's taught that. Nobody in here was taught anything other than that heliocentric Copernican model. Nobody in here was taught nothing different than that, because if you went to school, you was taught that Copernican system. Everybody was taught that if you went to school. But the Bible teaches something different. It teaches a geocentric system that we have. The earth is the center of the master plan of God. And you matter. And you're not floating somewhere out there, some speck of dust, you know, as a part of this overall scheme. You matter. And God sits right above on the rakia. And he looks at us, he said, like grasshoppers. He's looking through this rakia, and there he is. So if you want to know where God is, he's in heaven. You want to know where heaven is, it's just right up there. Next time you're outside and it's bright and sunny, and you look up and you see that blue sky, he's right there, just above the rakia, the throne of God sits. That's what he says in the Word, that's where he's at. So you can go up and say, God, although I might look like a grasshopper, I just want you to know that I love you and I thank you for being so good to me. And you pray and you go to the Lord like that. It's amazing. But you're very significant, and he shows us that often in his Word. So I'm excited about it. I hope you are. I would pray that everyone gets excited about the Word of God, because it's so wonderful. And tell everybody, say, look, you need to be in Torah portion, need to be in Bible study, need to be in church on Sunday. And this is an important time for us, critical time for you to learn and grab hold to the things of God. But I want to tell you, I love you. I thank God for you, and I appreciate you, and we'll see you in next service. God bless you.